Do you have an idea for a podcast, but you don't know where to start? Maybe you're overwhelmed by all the tech or you're convinced nobody will actually listen to you. Well, I'm Shauna Game. After 9.5 years as a professional podcaster, at this show, Everyone's Talking Money, and 25 million downloads later, let me tell you the secret to a profitable podcast. It is building a solid foundation, your podcast roadmap before you launch. That's why I created the Podcaster Class, a fast-paced group cohort podcasting for profit 8-week style MBA program. The Podcaster Class is immersive, comprehensive, and insanely motivational. If you want to create a podcast, DIYing a launch is just not the way to go. In the Podcaster Class, you'll get the tools, tips, and strategies to create a podcast that resonates with listeners and one you can be proud of. Get this, 90% of podcasters never make it to episode 3. That's 2.8 million podcasters who just quit. So to be a top podcaster, you only need to publish 21 episodes, but you got to make them good. So in the Podcaster Class, I'm taking the mystery out of how to create, launch, and profit from your podcast so you can create a top 1% podcast just like this one. The May cohort is now open for enrollment. Classes start May 22nd. There are only 15 spots open. You are going to learn podcasting with me and 14 other amazing people. You can learn all the details at thepodcasterclass.com. Use code podcast when you sign up for $100 off. That's thepodcasterclass.com. I'm going to be real with you. Identity theft is on the rise, and you do not want to wake up one morning and discover that your bank account has been emptied, or you're overdue on credit cards you never even applied for. We talk about this often on the podcast, but you don't realize how much of your information is available to scammers on the internet and how susceptible you and your family are to identity theft and fraud. I know, it's scary, but now you can get your data removed with Delete Me. That's why I personally choose Delete Me. Delete Me is a subscription service that removes your personal information from the largest people search databases on the web, and in the process helps prevent potential ID theft, doxing, and phishing scams. I just started using Delete Me and I got my regular personalized privacy report. I was shocked what they found and removed. It was pages of information about me that I did not want online. Here's how it works. You sign up and provide Delete Me with exactly what information you want deleted, and their experts take it from there. I cannot tell you how relieved I felt to have Delete Me. And you know, it's also a great service for your parents or grandparents to help protect them from identity theft. Delete Me is not just a one-time service. Delete Me is always working for you, constantly monitoring and removing the personal information you do not want on the internet. Take control of your data and keep your private life private by signing up for Delete Me, now at a special price for my listeners. Today, get 20% off your Delete Me plan when you go to joindeleteme.com/ETM and use promo code ETM at checkout. The only way you get 20% off is to go to joindeleteme.com/ETM and enter code ETM at checkout. joindeleteme.com/ETM. Go to joindeleteme.com/ETM and use code ETM for 20% off. Hey, I'm Shauna Compton-Game. This is Millennial Money, and today we have a doozy of a podcast to end our Summer Money series. We are talking to Chris Reining all about how he decided to save $1 million, retire at age 35, and of course, live happily ever after. We're going to hear his tips, how he exactly accomplished this goal, and how you might be able to set a lofty goal like that too, and definitely achieve it. I hope you've enjoyed this week where we brought you all sorts of different tips from money experts, certified financial planners, cool people that are out there doing amazing things and making money. I hope that you put some of these tips into action. Just a little reminder that Millennial Money will actually be on summer hiatus for about a month. We'll be back at you in mid-July with all new episodes. But between now and then, don't worry, we're going to be replaying twice a week some of our very favorite podcast episodes. If you've never heard them before, this is the chance to catch up. If you've heard them before, maybe it's a time to have a little reminder of some of the best tips that we think will really help get your money in shape for the summer. So we'll look forward to seeing you again in mid-July. But for now, enjoy this awesome episode on how Chris decided to save $1 million and retire.
It will expand your brain.
All right, Chris, I am so excited to have you as a guest on the podcast. You have an awesome story, and I just can't wait to share it with the listeners.
Well, I'm so happy that you're having me on to share that story.
So, a lot of us have these sort of big, lofty money goals. Sometimes we get there, sometimes we don't. But you actually set out to accomplish a really big, lofty goal that you actually accomplished. So I was wondering if you could just share a little bit about that goal and kind of how that came about and how you accomplished that.
Sure. So that's a pretty
big question.
So yeah, feel free to interrupt at any point, and I'll try to unpack it little by little. So like probably many listeners, I followed a pretty typical life path. You know, I went to high school, I applied to colleges, I got into some okay ones, and then I went to one of them where I actually was majoring in finance. And then like midway through college, I switched over to, I discovered computers and then switched over to an IT degree. It was called in Management Information Systems. And I loved it because I got really involved in sort of the sort of hacking game. So the sort of good guys versus bad guys and hackers and all that stuff, computer security. And after I graduated from college, that was like my dream job, was getting one of those. And I was fortunate to land one of those in 2001. It was a little bit tough at that time because the dot-com bubble was had already popped, and like a lot of IT jobs were hard to come by. So I did actually land one, thankfully, in Madison, Wisconsin at the time. And so, yeah, so I was looking at, you know, having this great career. I was making okay money at that time. I mean, just being out of school and wet behind the ears, like I wasn't getting paid very well. And yeah, life was good. And I started, you know, progressing in my career, making a little bit more money. I switched jobs. And then in my maybe like late 20s, you know, I'd been pretty good about saving money at that point. And so I'd saved up enough for a down payment on a condo. So I bought a condo, and then I bought my dream car, which was a BMW. It wasn't brand new. It was 3 years old,
but I still bought
this car that I'd always wanted. And I was like, you know, like it was great. Like my life was great. I was happy and all that stuff. But then, when I was getting into my late 20s, I really started getting a little frustrated or bored or even like sort of disillusioned with this whole 9-to-5 corporate life, because it was just really, really repetitive, right? Like waking up, driving to work, dealing with an inbox full of problems, and then driving home, making dinner, watching TV, maybe exercising, and then like knowing that you have to do that
all
tomorrow.
Over again and again and again.
Yeah, like ad nauseum, like if you've ever seen the movie Groundhog Day, like just like living the same day over and over again. And that was sort of my wake up call. That was like the epiphany of like if I don't do something, like if I don't make some changes in my life around money, like this is going to be my future for the next 30 or 40 years, even like this 9-to-5 grind. And I was like, I just can't do that to myself. Like I can't do that to my future self.
Right.
I wanted like some more options. And you talk about that a little bit, like having options, right? So
yeah.
So that's when I took a step back and realized like I had a choice. I could continue like spending all the money I was getting on all these material things, or I could start saving a lot more and investing that money and then potentially maybe stop working. And so that's like what I really focused on for a few years, was really sort of slashing a lot of spending on stuff that wasn't really like really didn't make me happy, and investing that. And then also like focusing on another big part of money, which was earning more. So like taking my career more seriously and trying to earn more there. So
was it just kind of a one day you just sort of woke up and went, okay, I need to change all these things? Or did you start, you know, with maybe, okay, I need to change this, and then you worked on that, and then you started on something else?
Right. So I think like the big epiphany was I can't do this forever. And so like looking at like a huge monstrous goal of like retiring early, which is what I ultimately ended up doing. I mean, that's so overwhelming. Like you're just gonna like not do anything because you don't know where to start. So it really started with getting a handle on my spending. And at that time, I really had no idea where my money was going. Like it was just coming into my bank account and then it was leaving. Right. And sure, I was like saving 5% into my 401k retirement account. You know, that would just come out of my paycheck, which is a great way to save for retirement. But like other than that, it was just money was coming in and money was leaving. And I didn't really know where it was all going. And so sort of step number one was really tracking it. And so I tried a bunch of different tools. There's, you know, tools like mint.com and, you know, Personal Capital and all these online tools now that weren't really around back then. Right. But those are a really good way to sort of get a bird's eye view of where your money is actually going, because it will like automatically categorize, you know, that you're spending this much on food or this much on housing, X, Y, and Z. And so that's what I did. I just first figured out like where is my money going. And then after that, I could start sort of systematically cutting back on areas where I wasn't really getting the value out of spending the money right. that I would have hoped to. And instead,
which I think is a really, really great point because, you know, I think, I've met so many different people that, you know, I always tell people like, it doesn't, you know, budgeting doesn't discriminate or, you know, having, you know, being able to achieve goals to be a millionaire, you can do it on a $30,000 salary. You can do it on a, you know, $1 million salary. I think though there's a great sort of, awakening that comes when you realize, and I've personally been through myself, so I completely understand where that thing no longer has, you know, a value. And you see that thing like, wow, if I didn't buy that thing, where could I be now? You know, maybe I could be well down the road to being retired or go on my dream vacation or quit my job and launch something else or, you know, whatever. I think that's a powerful moment when that happens.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. So for me, just to tack on to what you're saying there, it was really this idea of the daily $5 latte, right? And there's a lot of experts out there. They're like, oh, you shouldn't worry about the $5 latte. Like that's not a big win. Like you should be going after big wins. Mm. But making small, manageable changes. I mean, that's what really improves your ability to make or to change the big things, right? So
sure.
if you start out with cutting out the $5 latte, like you start building momentum and you figure out, oh my God, I cut out this $5 latte and I'm still alive. Right. And that means it's easier to cut out like a bigger thing, like maybe eating out every day. I know a lot of people eat out like every single day. Like maybe you eat out less per week. Right. Or whatever. And it sort of snowballs down the line. And then you sort of figure out like where you get the most bang for your buck when you're spending money.
Yeah, no, that's awesome. Those are great tips.
I'm sorry, but I have the best dog ever. Her name is Winnie Stardust. She is a mini golden mountain doodle full of life, and I would do just about anything to keep her happy, healthy, and safe. Today's episode is sponsored by the ASPCA Pet Health Insurance Program. Your pet is part of your family, and you want to do the best for them. But vet bills can really add up. We jokingly keep telling Winnie she needs to get a job to pay for her vet bill. That's why you should check out pet insurance. And with ASPCA Pet Health Insurance, you can focus on the care your pet deserves and cover what matters most. The ASPCA Pet Health Insurance Program offers customized accident and illness plans, making it easier for pet parents like you to help your pet get the care they need. The ASPCA Pet Health Insurance Program has been around for over 18 years, and they've helped more than 600,000 pets during that time. They allow you to customize your plan, helping to ensure that your pet's plan is as unique as they are. Because vet bills can really add up, especially when you are least expecting it. It's simple. Use their app to submit a claim, and you'll receive reimbursement for eligible vet bills directly into your bank account. To explore coverage, visit aspcapetinsurance.com/etm. That's aspcapetinsurance.com/etm. Again, that's aspcapetinsurance.com/ETM. This is a paid advertisement. Insurance is underwritten by either Independent American Insurance Company or United States Fire Insurance Company and produced by PTZ Insurance Agency Limited. The ASPCA is not an insurer, is not engaged in the business of insurance. When it comes to financial advice, you gotta trust the source. It's why you listen to this podcast. When I'm looking to upgrade my wallet, I turn to NerdWallet. Their expert team of nerds dives into the details to help you find smarter financial products. Before NerdWallet, I was paying for vacations all wrong. I was missing out on miles I didn't even know I was leaving on the table. Now I've got a new card with more miles and more upgrades. What could future you do with more travel rewards? I don't know, maybe that fancy hotel upgrade that you have always been dreaming about. Wherever you go next, make it happen with a smarter travel credit card. Don't wait to make smart financial decisions. Compare and find smarter credit cards, savings accounts, and more today at nerdwallet.com. NerdWallet, finance smarter. As with all cards, credit is subject to lender approval and terms apply.
So you're going along this journey, you're wanting to retire early. What was actually the point or the moment where you realized, okay, this is actually possible?
I think it was, that's a really good question. I think like way back when, it was probably before I actually decided that that was what I wanted to do. I think it was, I had started investing when I was, 22, right out of college when I got that first job, and I was putting money into my 401k account, right? Mm-hmm. So a lot of employers offer a 401k account. It's easy to use and to set up. And, I didn't have hardly any money then, right? Like just coming out of college on a very tiny starting salary. Like I actually went back and looked at how much I was investing back then. It was $66 a month. I mean, because that was like that's all I could afford. But then, over time I was able to increase those amounts, but I think it was really, probably like in my early or even mid 20s when I started seeing my investments grow, right? Like when mm-hmm. I physically saw, from my account statements that, I had put in whatever X amount and now it was double that, or like I had, my investments had made me $1,000, and then that was like, well, that's like me. My investments are working for me. And that was a really powerful lesson, was seeing that, my money can make money for me without me having to do anything.
Yeah, that's such a, it's such a great thing when you log onto your account, you're like, whoa, I just made money. Not so great when you don't, but you can weather the storm. So there are a lot of listeners, that are still, no matter what salary they make, completely fearful of investing in the stock market, whatever reason it may be, Wall Street mongers, what happened in 2008, 2009, or just purely don't understand investing. What sort of tips would you offer to somebody who's kind of in that situation?
That's a really good question, because I mean, yes, investing does come with risk, right? Like we saw that, like you mentioned, during the recession when the market went down 25-30%, and people lost a lot of money that way. But it's sort of paper. I mean, it's not like you're not really losing money. Like you're losing money in your account, but I think over the long term, it's been, historically the market has always gone up. So if you look at the data, over the last 200 plus years, the market has always gone up to the tune of around 7% annually. So yes, you're going to have these peaks and valleys. And so I think the first thing for someone that's maybe just starting investing is that, like, you really shouldn't be investing money that you know you need in the next 3 to 5 years, right? So if you're trying to save up for a house, or you're trying to save up an emergency fund, or you're trying to save up for a car or whatever it is, and you know that you need that money in the next year or 3 years or even 5 years, I mean, that's money that you shouldn't be investing, because the sort of risk that you can run into is that you invested that money and things might be going great. Like over the last, well, ever since the recession, the market has been going up, and everyone's a super smart investor, right? Because everyone's making money. It's really easy to. But if you're investing money, and then we run into another recession, like you can lose, you know, 30% of that money in the span of just a few months. So I think that's probably the first thing to understand about investing is that, yes, it's not risk-free. Right. You can potentially lose money. But if you think long-term, I think you're probably going to come out ahead because investing is probably going to beat stuffing money under your mattress or even saving it in a savings account or a CD.
Yeah, exactly. So what is retirement like?
Well, I'm 38, so I'm still young. And for me, it's been actually almost a year now. So, I only have 1 year down of early retirement. And I think like the biggest thing that I'm learning so far is just having, sort of like autonomy and control over my time. Like,
right.
Like I was laughing because the other week I slept in on a Tuesday until 11 a.m. And I was like this is crazy. Like I would never have been able to do this, you know, like a year ago, like just sleep in on a Tuesday while everyone else is running off to their job. I mean, it was just kind of like I don't do that every day, like obviously, but it was just nice knowing that like I have that option now, right? To just sleep in when I want to. I don't have to, you know, wake up with my alarm clock. So for me, it's really about just having control over my time and, you know, doing the things that I really want to do. So I've been doing, you know, some more traveling. I have a website where I write about personal finance. So I'm spending time writing. I live in Wisconsin, so now it's summertime and I'm spending a lot of time outside during the day, doing hiking and swimming and even working out outside. So it's just like having complete control over my time. And that's something that I never really had before. And it's really amazing. Like I don't really know how to describe it, but it's just, it's like the best feeling in the world.
Yeah, I can imagine. So you've been labeled by the New York Times a super saver. I love that. So I would imagine that, you know, being in retirement, you're probably just as, I don't want to use the word thrifty, but just as focused on saving as you were before, right?
What do you mean by saving?
Well, for instance, so now you're living off your retirement. So I would imagine, you know, you're not out, you know, blowing thousands of dollars on super expensive things or vacations. You're still trying to find a way to, you know, do the things that you like to do in life, but still be smart financially.
Yeah, absolutely. That's a good way to say it. So, right. Like, so I don't like walk around in a tuxedo drinking champagne every day.
Oh, come on. Now you're blowing it for us.
Right. But I think that, why it works for me and why it might could work or how it could work for other people is that like, I sort of decreased my lifestyle or optimized it in a way that, you know, I was really happy. Right. So like, yeah, I don't spend money on certain things like my cell phone and stuff like that, like stuff I don't care about. I don't spend tons of money on, but like travel was always something that was really important to me. So like, I don't mind spending thousands of dollars, you know, to travel. That's not a problem, but it's like, it's just being conscious of those trade-offs about where you're spending money. So yeah, I'm not spending, you know, my whole retirement. I still live a pretty sort of minimalistic lifestyle, but I spend in the areas where it makes me the most happy. And, you know, I live a great life that way.
Yeah, that's awesome. So do you have any kind of future business plans or what's on the horizon for you for the next couple of years?
That's a good question too. So I actually started doing some coaching because people started asking me if I could talk with them on the phone. Like I'm always willing to exchange emails with people. People email me all the time, like I'm sure they do with you. And that's cool. But yeah, people wanted to talk through money issues on the phone with me. So since I understand a little bit about economics, I was like, well, I don't really want to talk to people on the phone, but if you pay me a little bit of money, then I'll talk to you on the phone. And so that's working out great because, you know, they get what they want and, you know, I make a little bit of money, which I usually just end up donating anyways. And that's, you know, that's been working out pretty nicely. And I like doing that as well. And, I've also been working on, an online course as well around investing. So Just dabbling in those couple of things and, you know, just trying to enjoy my time as much as I can.
Yeah, that's awesome. Well, where can listeners find you so that they can, you know, learn more about what you're up to and maybe read some of your awesome articles and get your investment tool bundle, et cetera?
Yeah, that's great. So it's my name, Chris Reining, and that's R-E-I-N-I-N-G.com. A little bit hard to spell, but that's how you spell it. And yeah, you can go there and sign up for my free tool bundle. So I have a quick guide on how to get started having your money work for you and a little spreadsheet too that I developed to use when I was tracking my spending and saving and investing. So yeah, you can head over there and learn more.
Awesome. That's so great. So thank you so much for coming on, Chris, and sharing your story. I'm sure you're going to motivate a lot of listeners to kind of get re-inspired with their investing and maybe not see it so much as kind of the big, ugly, scary monster.
Yeah, that'd be great. So yeah, thanks for having me on. I really appreciate it.